If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
Elijah goes down to the woman, and the Bible says when he enters into this particular burrow, he finds this woman gathering sticks. I believe it is divine impression of God that has him call out to the woman, fetch me some water. Now, remember, we're in a drought. The drought's going into its seventh year. She turns to go get him water. Where'd she get water? She doesn't turn to him and say, I don't have any water. She turns to get him the water. Now, when she turns, that pushes the faith in Elijah. He says, if she's going to get water, then she's the one God sent me to. Because God will never send you to somebody that doesn't have it. While she's walking to fetch the water, Elijah says, and by the way, bring me a cake. Now we got to talk, brother. I only have enough meal for one cake. Now I got a cake. See, he did. Now think about it. He did not ask her for what she did not have. Let that sink in for a moment. Should I say it again? He did not ask her for what she did not have. She didn't have to make a decision about having it. She had to determine where she was going to give it, just like us. God never asks us for what we do not have. We just have to decide if we're going to use it for him or us. And that's everything in our lives. We can use our talents for the kingdom or for the devil. We can take our singing voice that started us off in church and wind up being the queen of soul. But we started out singing for the Lord. But then the glitz and glamour of the secular world pulled us away from singing for the Lord. Or like Little Richard said, when he became a Christian, then a minister, and then went back to rock and roll, and someone asked him, why'd you go back to rock and roll? He said, I got to eat, and the church don't pay like the world does. At least he's honest. Well, that was before now, because now they do. And so Elijah says, bring me a cake. She says, all right, now, I got cake. I got one. But I'm going to make it for my son and I. And we are going to eat it and die. He says, watch, make the cake. You're not going to die. For the Lord is going to fix it so your meal doesn't run out and your oil does not expire. Make the cake. Do what you started to do. And God is going to bless you. What did he have to do? Change her thought process. She said, I'm going to make the cake and die. He said, no, make the cake and prosper. See, the enemy comes to you and says, if you give this, if you do that, you won't have it for next week. God says, no, if you give it, I'll multiply it. But your unreasonable, unconscious mind says, well, you remember when you didn't have it. Nobody wants to go back to that again. And that's what the children of Israel did. They looked at God's promise and said, we can't do it, just like us. The doctor takes a few tests and then makes a diagnosis. And thank God for doctors. I'm not putting them down. I thank God for them. I think they are a great gift from God. But they're human. And they are practicing medicine. But yet we will believe that doctor. Do you know how much faith we have in them? They can write you a paper called a prescription. You take that prescription to Rite Aid, CVS, Walgreens, or wherever you go, and you get your medicine, and you can't understand what's on that script. Some of the older ones will still write it in, you know, hieroglyphics. And you can't understand it. And then you exercise faith in the doctor to take it, to take the script. Then you give it to the pharmacist. They're not even doctors. And then they interpret it, and then they go to this shelf and grab stuff off the shelf and put it in a bottle and put a tag on it that translates what the doctor said. And then they ask you, do you have any questions about the medication? And the only question you have is, how much is it? Because they're no under no obligation to tell you when you take it, you're going to grow a tail and a third ear. You're going to get a bump on the end of your nose and hair going to come out of it. And your eyes going to cross and you're going to speak in tongues every day. And your mouth is going to froth and you're going to bark at 6 o'clock every evening when you take it. Because we don't want to know. We actually don't know what that medicine is going to do to us. But we put our faith in the doctor, our faith in the pharmacist, our faith in the little helper at the pharmacy counter, and trust that they won't give you the wrong pill. And she's talking on her cell phone. Child, let me tell you, I was at that place last night, and he was talking to me. Hold on, I got to give these people their medicine. Here, this is for you. Do you have a card we can swipe? And you pick it up and walk out with it, and most times don't even check it. And it could be the wrong medicine. But you believe that what that doctor told you is going to work. And you believe that what that pharmacist gave you is what the doctor told him to give you. And you believe that the clerk is giving you what the pharmacist put in the bag that the doctor told to give you. And then you tell your body to do exactly what the doctor said that medicine was supposed to do. And your body does exactly what you tell it. What do you think would happen if you told it, by his stripes I'm healed? What do you think would happen if you said, devil, I'm not even going to let you get a foothold in here. I'm going to try the word of God. Now, some of you right now are going, yeah, well, what if it don't work? Well, what if the meds don't work? You go back to the doctor and say, this medicine ain't working. Give me something else. So you got to go to God and say, God, my faith ain't growing in here. I need some help with this. Because I'll tell you, we want what the doctor gives us to keep us alive. Because we don't want to die. So out of desperation, we believe and we force every part of our mental process to believe it. So much so, David said, I will call on the Lord 3 times a day. In the morning, I'll call you, at midday, and at night. We are regimented to taking our medicine on the schedule on the bottle, but only come to church once a week and expect our bodies to respond. Don't even pray. Don't even isolate time to sit with God. But we'll take our medicine 3 times a day. I got to take this with food, Pastor, so I ain't able to participate in the fast. That's the only time we have a lot of diabetics is when we call the church on a fast. Pastor, I can't fast, praise the Lord. I got to eat with my medication. I got to feed my sugar. So the medical community says, you know, there's no cure for diabetes. The medical community says that. And you go, oh, wow. So I guess I'm going to be on metformin as long as I can until my pancreas decide they don't want to put out any more insulin. And then when my pancreas decides they want to shut down, I guess I have to go on insulin injections until such time as the Lord provides a healing. Because you believe, and you'll never get healed because you believe there's no cure. Is there any cure for sin? Let me ask this question again. I think I'm talking to a church that don't have no saved people in it. Is there any cure for sin? What is that cure? The blood of Jesus. Is there any cure for sickness? What is that cure? The stripes on his back. So when the doctor tells you there's no cure for diabetes, whose report are you going to believe? But your mind has to be retrained. How do you retrain your mind? Listen carefully, and I'm going to close and leave you with this. You have to flood your mind with the Word of God until it occupies not only your conscious, but your unconscious. I did not say you become super spiritual and have a scripture for every occurrence. But you flood your mind. You sit there and you read this Bible all the time until it replaces the natural thoughts, until miracles become your norm, until the thoughts of God become your thoughts, until your mind is saturated with his mind. And hear me, it can be done. See, once again, the devil invades. Here's what he does. People who spend a lot of time in the Word often become super religious. You know, they walk around, how you doing? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I ain't got time for foolish talk. I just asked you how you were doing. You're going to the game? Praise the Lord. The Bible says don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Well, then don't go. That's another hot dog for me. I'm not going to argue with you because you're super spiritual. That's not what it means. To keep your mind centered on the Word of God doesn't mean you become a non-functioning human. But it does mean that the Word of God is your first default. When trouble comes, what does the Word say? I have disciplined myself to avoid negative speech. I cannot stop thoughts from coming to my mind. I don't possess that power. But what I've decided to do is not to allow those negative thoughts to come out of my mouth. Now, sometimes you have to separate yourself from people who force those thoughts out of you because you're only human and you're going to respond sometimes. So you have to say, you know what? I can't be bothered with you. All you want to talk about is something that's offensive, and I'm just going to separate myself because I cannot deal with this. Why? I want my mind and my mouth to be connected to God so when the battle comes, when does the battle come? When you are preparing to step into the promise. Listen to me. The Amalekites were always there. The Hittites were always there. The further north the children of Israel went, those tribes were there. In fact, the Word of God says God did not send them into certain areas because they were not ready. So apparently they were ready for this one because he let them see them. Whatever God lets come in your life, you're ready to handle it. So stop saying, I can't take anymore.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
4318A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Attention all ministers and aspiring ministers of the gospel. You are invited to join Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., pastor of Bethel Deliverance International Church, for the Making of a Minister's Training Session, Part 2.
I'm Pastor Eric Lambert of the Bethel Deliverance International Church. I have over 30 years of pastoring this great church, and I'd like to share with you the information that God has allowed me to learn so that you could grow up in your ministry and realize your full potential.
The Making of a Minister Training Session Part 2 will take place on Saturday, July 14th from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. at the Bethel Deliverance International Church located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. Registration is free. Call 215-885-2585 extension 314 to register. That's 215-885-2585 extension 314 to register. For more information, visit BethelDeliverance.org. Plan now to be there.
God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you at the Making of a Minister.